Friends, even a couple days before Election Day and in the midst of a pandemic, we can say as the people of God, God is good.
All the time.
That is for sure. I am really grateful for our praise team and all that they are for us and for God. Aren't you grateful for them as well? Thank you, Lord. For those of you who are in the Family Life Center, you saw on the screen the turkey welcoming you to First Church. That turkey came to visit us on Friday, right outside of the sanctuary on the bench. The original caption for that picture was congratulations to Pastor Wes on his new status. But I decided to change that because, well, he takes enough from me, you know? So we're in Acts chapter 20. Let's bow our heads and talk to the Lord. Mighty God, thank you for this day. Thank you for the way that you work in our lives, even when we're not sure if we want you working that way. We ask today for faithfulness. We're going to talk about faithfulness and how it comes from you and how it comes out of us. Show us this day, Lord, how we can be more like you so this world can be more filled with your Spirit. And for that, we will always be grateful. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen. You know, folks, it is hard to trust or even be trusted in these times, isn't it? Did you know that thousands of letters are addressed to God every year and they end up in the postal sorting office in Jerusalem? According to the Associated Press, the letters arrive from all over the world in the city's undeliverable mail department. The spokesperson for their post office, named Yitzhak, says, "We have hundreds of thousands of letters sent to God or Jesus Christ, and for some reason, they end up in Jerusalem." In one letter, an Israeli man asked God for 5,000 shekels, that's about $1,000 to you and me, to ease his poverty. Postal workers were so moved that they collected and sent him 4,300 shekels. After about a month, the same person wrote another letter to God, but this time he wrote, "Thank you, God, for the gift, but next time, please don't send it through the post office. They're thieves. They stole 700 shekels." It is hard to trust these days, yet God gives us wonderful accounts of his integrity and his truthfulness throughout all of the scriptures. Listen to Deuteronomy 7 and 9. "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is a faithful God, keeping the covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments." There are also wonderful accounts of faithfulness of his followers. One of these accounts is Acts 20, 32 to 38, which we'll look at today, and it refers to the faithfulness and the integrity of the Apostle Paul. You see, the good news about God's word is that we don't have to try and reinvent the wheel to understand how to be men and women of integrity. Instead, we can look at the models which already exist in the scriptures. Now, over in Acts chapter 20, Paul, the Apostle Paul, is saying goodbye to dear friends. He will soon start a journey to Jerusalem, which will lead to a journey to Rome, which was the center of the earth in antiquity, where tradition says he witnessed his faith in Jesus Christ before the emperor of Rome and was eventually executed for his faith. So take a listen to this passage. "Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself, who said, 'It is more blessed to give than receive.'" When Paul had finished speaking, he knelt down with all of them and he prayed. They all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. What grieved them most was the statement that they would not see his face again. Then they accompanied him to the ship. Now, how can we be people of integrity and faithfulness in a world that places such a high value on deception, malice, unfaithfulness, and greed? How can people of faith stay true to what is truth? Well, let's look at Paul's example, okay? Even though Paul was leaving permanently, Paul knew God would work in his absence. He says, I commend you to God and to his message of grace, a message that will build you up. Now, this is basic. It's very essential. The beginning of integrity is no secret. It starts with an absolute trust in the work of God Almighty. Take a listen to Proverbs 3, beginning in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he'll make your path straight. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Why is trusting God so integral to integrity and faithfulness? Because God knows just what we need. He knows the work that is needed specifically in each of us. After all, he did make us, right? And God knows just where to do the work. I don't know if you're familiar with the name, but Charlie Steinmetz is one of the greatest ever in the field of electricity that the world's ever known. In his day, nobody knew more than him. He built the great generators of Henry Ford in his first plant in Dearborn, Michigan. Once everything was in place, the assembly line worked like clockwork. Thanks to his electrical genius, cars began to roll off the production line and the profits began to pour into Ford's pockets. Things ran along smoothly for months and months and months and months and months. Then suddenly, without warning, everything ground to a halt. Ford Motor Company went dark. One mechanic after another was unable to locate the problem. Much to Ford's frustration, they were losing money. Finally, he contacted the brain behind the system. Steinmetz showed up immediately and he went to work. He fiddled around with some switches and a gauge or two. He tinkered with this motor and that one. He pushed a few buttons and messed with some wires. He then threw the master switch and the lights blinked on. The engines began to whirl and things were back to normal. Production started again. A few days later, Henry Ford received a bill from Steinmetz for $10,000. It's the 1920s, $10,000. Although Ford was a rich man, he couldn't believe it. Paying such an exorbitant amount of money was out of the question, especially for what appeared to be such a small amount of work. He returned the bill with a note. Charlie, isn't this bill just a little high for a few hours of tinkering around with a few wires and switches? So Steinmetz rewrote the bill. And he sent it back, and it read like this: for tinkering around on the motors and the switches, $10. For knowing where to tinker, $9,990. Henry Ford paid the bill. Now, as you and I open up our lives to God and trust God to minister to us, he knows where to tinker, to put right what's going wrong and repair what is broken in our lives. After all, he formed us. He fashioned us in the first place, right? Jesus, the great physician, knows the right remedy because he's able to diagnose the exact problem. Since God knows it all, Christian integrity and faithfulness begins with an understanding that God knows us better than we know ourselves, and therefore knows how to work in us and in the lives of those we care about, even if, like Paul, we're not always going to be present with those people we care about. We also see that Paul demonstrated faithfulness to all those around him. Here's the progression. Paul trusted God. God is faithful to Paul. And now Paul is faithful to others. Those are the steps for maturity in the life of any Christian because our lives always affect the lives of other people. Being faithful is what we're designed to do. These people Paul knew cared for. These people that Paul knew, he cared for. He loved them. And they knew this because he stayed faithful even in the hard times. They saw in Paul a small snapshot of the love and the faithfulness of God. Next one, Paul followed through. He didn't want to get rich. What he wanted to do was what was necessary to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Remember, the Gentiles were the non-Jewish, non-Christians at the time. He was faithful in that responsibility. He could have easily said, life is as good as a Pharisee. I was respected, I was rich, I was better educated than anybody else. I had no concern about any worldly needs. I was even feared. I'm going back to the easy life. Or at least he could have tried to go back, but it never entered his mind. Because people who are faithful follow through. Everybody say follow through. They follow through with what God has called them to do, and they don't let lesser concerns get in the way. His calling from God, and by the way, everybody has a calling from God, not just clergy. It was so powerful that he found a way to make it happen. That is, he started a business to create the revenue to provide the resources he needed to accomplish his goal. He was a tent maker. Because of his calling, he found a way, and he followed through. People of integrity who are true to their calling and who they are, they make a way and they follow through. Also, Paul poured his life into others. We can see clearly that his life had a deep and lasting effect on those around him. They loved him for his honesty and his integrity. They knew that when they were with Paul, they would hear the truth in love, not what he thought they wanted to hear. Because he poured his life into them, they always knew God loved them and wanted his best for them. God uses faithful people like the Apostle Paul and like you and me as supernatural object lessons about his faithfulness. Folks, please remember this. People will always know who God is, or they will misunderstand who God is by the example that we leave for them. Paul wasn't perfect by any means. He was rough around the edges. He was somewhat sensitive and thin-skinned. He was insensitive to other people sometimes. But his lifestyle left an awful lot of good theology behind with those he worked with and those who established relationships with him. He was a man of integrity. He trusted in God alone, and his integrity pointed to God alone. So, friends, what do we do to be faithful people who point to Jesus in our lives? What is it that we do? Well, integrity and faithfulness develop when we trust God. That is, God is bigger and he is able much more than we are. Integrity and faithfulness develop when we stick with faithfulness. Paul never abandoned those Christians. He was there as much as humanly possible. Integrity and faithfulness develop when we follow through. He found a way to fulfill his calling, and he stayed with it. So, friends, what's God calling you to? What may be the obstacles that God can help you overcome? He will help you overcome if you ask him. Integrity and faithfulness develop when we share our lives. Paul poured his life into others so they would know more of the love of God and how to live as a believer. Who can you pour your life into, Christian? My friends, where would God have you show integrity and faithfulness to somebody this week? Because he does want you to show integrity and faithfulness to somebody this week. And what better time to show integrity and faithfulness to others than in an era when people are giving up hope? COVID-19, an economy reveals that there is much more month at the end of the money. A presidential election that threatens to divide communities and even families. Faithfulness to God. Our modeling of the faithfulness of God is needed now more than ever. So, using Paul's example, stick to the truth of God's faithfulness through us to other people. Be the hope they need. For this world desperately needs the faithfulness of God demonstrated through the people who follow him. Let's pray. Mighty God, thank you for this time, this chance to be together, this overwhelming privilege of whether we are present here in this building or whether we are watching online now or later. Thank you for drawing us all together by the power of your Spirit. Remind us, Lord, that in these days, people need faithfulness. In these days, they need you. And Lord, the way they are introduced to you is through our lifestyle. So let's be like Paul, Lord. Let's trust you. Let's stick to faithfulness. Let's follow through and share our lives For Lord, that's the way more people will have the peace that we all so desperately need. And we'll thank you forever in Jesus' name. Amen.